James Herbert from CBS Sports joins us to talk a little NBA. James, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Like, the Celtics, they got to be the biggest surprise in the NBA, don't they?
I think it's between them and the Blazers. I think certainly in the Eastern Conference, Boston has been the happiest story in the NBA. They're a team that coming into the season, there was sort of a disconnect between what some of the statistical projections and some of the people who write about analytics said about this team and what the average person said about the team. And that was because I think there aren't a lot of like huge names on this team. I mean, Isaiah Thomas, yes, he made the All-Star team, but I don't think coming into the year a ton of people would have predicted that. And beyond him, you have essentially a bunch of role players, so many to the point where Brad Stevens actually had trouble figuring out who should be in the rotation and who shouldn't be. They have a whole bunch of solid defenders. I think it starts in the backcourt. There aren't a lot of teams that have guys like Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley, both of whom can just put a ton of pressure on opposing guards. But they don't have a ton of big scorers. I mean, it all revolves around Thomas offensively and how dangerous he is in the pick and roll. But I think what they've really found as the season has gone on is a real rhythm where the other guys can play off him. And Jay Crowder has had a career season. And I think a lot of their credit has to go to Brad Stevens, who I think along with Terry Stotts in Portland are the front runners for Coach of the Year right now.
Do you think Boston enjoys flying under the radar? Because in the East, it's Cleveland and people are still talking a lot about Toronto, obviously. Or do you think the Celtics have a bit of a chip on their shoulder that they're not getting the respect they feel they deserve?
I think they do. I think a lot of the guys individually have that chip. Isaiah Thomas, you read any interview with him, you talk to him for 5 minutes, and you understand this is a guy that's been counted out every step of the way. There was never a point, not in high school, not in college, not once he got to the league, that people thought he was going to become the player that he is today. And, I mean, Jay Crowder was a role player elsewhere, and he was becoming a fine player in Dallas, but I don't think many people pegged him to become as important to an NBA team as he is now. Some of the other guys on the team, Kelly Olynyk, who people in Canada are obviously very familiar with. I mean, he took a lot of criticism in his first few years in the NBA, and he's having a career year now too. And I think just all the way, 1 to 12, there aren't a lot of guys that were really heralded coming into the league. And they also knew coming into this season, people thought, the second half of the year that they had last year where they went on that run after the Isaiah Thomas trade, they made it into the playoffs. Some people thought, yeah, they just surprised people. They snuck up on teams. They won't be able to do that again. And yet here they are as the third seed in the East. I think they've exceeded pretty much everybody's expectations. Maybe not their own, though, because they're a confident group.
James Herbert from CBS Sports. Join us talking NBA. You mentioned Boston's a surprise, but so are the Portland Trail Blazers. Damian Lillard may be the best player that no one's talking about. James, do you think the Trail Blazers have enough horsepower and talent to maybe sneak out of the first round? Because those top four seeds in the Western Conference, it's kind of like pick your poison.
Yeah, I would be surprised if they made it out of the first round this year. But look, to me, just making it into the playoffs and being competitive in a playoff series is just a massive win for this team. If you looked at the roster on paper, it's sort of similar to what I said about the Boston Celtics, except what they did is all of these pieces, they acquired most of them in the summer. And they promoted some people from within. Alan Crabb had been sitting on the bench for a couple of years. CJ McCollum emerged late last season, but he's the leading candidate for most improved player right now. This team, I think, is way ahead of schedule in terms of their rebuilding path. A lot of people thought, they lose four starters in the offseason. They lose an all-star in LaMarcus Aldridge. They're going to be one of the worst teams in the NBA. And what they did there was they signed a bunch of role players who had been putting up pretty good numbers in limited minutes, and they gave them bigger roles. They gave them an opportunity. They gave them a platform to kind of show what they could do in the NBA, and they've really run with it. I think they've been a good offensive team pretty much all year long because of the pressure that Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum put on opponents in the pick and roll every time down. But what's really impressed me is the way that over the past couple of months, they've become one of the better defensive teams in the NBA with a relatively young team and not a lot of lockdown guys. So they've really come together. The chemistry there is obviously amazing. And I mean, you watch that team play. They're one of the teams that I thought, even if they were not great, they'd be fun to watch. But it turns out they've actually been competitive, and they've been one of the more entertaining teams in the league this year.
James Herbert joins us from CBS Sports. James, the Toronto Raptors, speaking of entertaining, they're you know, the duo with DeMar DeRozan and, of course, Kyle Lowry, one of the best, really, in the NBA. They give them a chance to win every night. They're two games behind Cleveland. Do you think they can surpass Cleveland? Does it really matter? Do you see any other teams that can beat those guys in the first few rounds in the East?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because the ceiling, I think, is pretty high. I think Masai Ujiri did a radio interview today and said that the East is wide open, and I wouldn't argue with that. I think based on how the Cavs have played for the last little while, yes, they're obviously going to be the favorites on paper, but I don't think anybody's here thinking that they're unbeatable. They've had a lot of problems this year. They've had chemistry issues. They've had defensive inconsistency. They've had a lot of games where they just kind of haven't shown up, and they haven't seemed like the happiest and most together team all year if you look at the quotes surrounding that team. So I think there's an opportunity for the Raptors. I think they've proved to be a really tough team to beat at home, and if they can keep playing that way, then there's a shot. There's enough time that they could conceivably catch Cleveland. But I do think based on what's happened the last 2 years in the playoffs, once the postseason starts, you'll see some people not taking the Raptors that seriously just because they haven't won in the postseason before with this group. I think personally they have a different personality. They have a different character. They're much more balanced offensively and defensively than they were in years past. So for me, yeah, I think they'll make it out of the first round. But I do think if they play a team like Charlotte, who's been really hot lately, if they play a team like Chicago, which, I mean, living in Toronto, everybody here seems to be petrified they'll face the Bulls because in the regular season the past few years they've not had much luck against them. I don't think it's going to be a thing where people just assume they're absolutely getting out of the first round this year, despite the fact that in the regular season I think it's pretty clear they've established themselves as the second-best team in the East.
Well, the Bulls aren't even in the playoffs as we speak right now, sitting behind Detroit. Yeah, the Bulls would definitely not be the team I'd be leery of. I agree with you. Charlotte is good, but the Raptors, there's pretty much no chance they'll have to meet them in the first round. Like, there's Indiana, Detroit, Chicago. It likely is going to be one of those three teams, I would think.
Yeah, things can still change, though. I mean, the Wizards are out of the playoff race right now, but they still have a few games left against those teams that you just mentioned that are just above them. So there could be some movement there. Chicago, for a second there, when Jimmy Butler went to see Dr. James Andrews, people were saying, oh my God, maybe he's out for the season. Maybe they'll drop out of the playoff race. But they're just neck and neck with Detroit there. There's still a chance that they can get up there to the seventh or sixth seed. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. It's kind of a mess down there at the bottom of the Eastern Conference standings with a lot of teams that are fighting to get in there. And it's not necessarily what everybody predicted. I think a lot of people thought that the Wizards, for example, might be up there battling for the two seed rather than just scratching and clawing and 2.5 games out of the playoffs.
Joined by James Herbert from CBS Sports, talking NBA. James, let's go back to the Western Conference, the Golden State Warriors. They've looked like world beaters, and then they lose to the LA Lakers last week. I know Steph Curry's dealing with a bit of an ankle injury. What do you expect down the stretch from the Golden State Warriors? Are they going to rest Steph Curry, or do they really want to beat that Bulls record? What do you think is more important to them, that Bulls record or winning back-to-back NBA titles?
I mean, the title's obviously more important to them, and you ask anybody in that locker room, they'll say that if they win 73, that's really not as meaningful if they don't then go ahead and win a title. That's what everybody is focused on. But they're all aware of the record. They all want the record. If there's a chance to get it, and right now there certainly still is, then they're going to go for it. Now, does that mean if Stephen Curry has a nagging injury that Steve Kerr will not rest him if he thinks that there's a chance that he might aggravate it? No, that's not the case. I mean, Kerr's going to be smart. The team is going to be smart. If there's somebody that has to sit, they'll take their chances and they'll rest Steph. Or if it's Clay, they'll rest Clay. They have their priorities straight. They want the record. They're a relatively healthy team still, and I think they have a pretty good chance of getting there. But no, they're not going to do anything stupid.
And also staying in the Western Conference, the Spurs are just three games behind the Golden State Warriors. Do you think the Spurs are the only team in the NBA that could defeat the Spurs? And if so, do you need to see them? I think they still play twice in the regular season. Are you waiting to see those final two matchups before you make a decision on that?
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how these matchups go, because the last time they played each other, Golden State just destroyed them. And Tim Duncan didn't play in that game. I'm not sure it's the fairest environment to evaluate San Antonio. LaMarcus Aldridge was basically invisible in that contest, and Kawhi Leonard didn't do what he normally does offensively. But yeah, I think they've been amazing this season. I think maybe this is the best San Antonio team I've ever seen, which is really saying something considering how good they've been for the past couple of decades. But yeah, they're the biggest challenger to the Warriors. I will say that the Thunder, they've played them really close. And if Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook both go off at the same time, they're incredibly tough to beat. Now, would I pick them or would I pick anybody, even the Spurs, against the Warriors in a series? Absolutely not. I think Golden State has proven to be on another level. But I do think there will be challenges. I do think there will be some adversity. I don't think many people thought they'd be down 2-1 to the Memphis Grizzlies in the playoffs last year, but that ended up happening. So I don't think they're just going to steamroll through everybody in the Western Conference. They will be tested, but I do think they're the overwhelming favorites based on what they've done so far this year.
And one last one for you, James. Looking at some of the bottom teams, and I guess with a little bit of a Canadian flair, Minnesota, do you see something that next season they can take a step forward? Currently, it looks like they're going to get, what, the probably the fifth or sixth pick, so I don't know if there's a player there that can help them. But what do you make of that team? Do you think next year is a year that Minnesota takes a step forward, or are they still a few years away?
I think every rebuilding, developing team in the NBA is jealous of the talent that they have in that roster. To have Wiggins and to have Towns on the same team is pretty rare because these are both franchise players. I think they have some good young supporting guys in Zach LaVine and Gorgui Dieng, who clearly still have some developing to do. But if they get the right system, I'm not sure if Sam Mitchell will be back as the coach or not. I'm not sure what direction the organization is going to go. But if they can establish the culture that they're trying to establish, then in a few years they should be extremely dangerous. And Karl-Anthony Towns in particular, it seems like he's being under-discussed, which is funny considering he was the number one pick last year and he's a front-runner for Rookie of the Year. But this guy looks to me like a future Hall of Famer, a perennial all-star. I haven't seen a rookie this polished in a number of years, and I just think not enough can be said about this guy, what he's doing as a first-year player in the NBA.
James, always good to catch up with you. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.